Well, welcome to the D&K Repost Non-League Show, and we're here for the next hour. And, of course, joining us this week, of course, and, wow, all of a sudden, I think the plastic surgery for Keith has gone really, really well this week. And, of course, joining us in the top corner, of course, is Ali. And Ali, of course, he's going to be standing in for Keith for the time being. So welcome, Ali. Great to see you again, mate.
Hey David, how are you? Good, thank you. I'm glad to stand in for big shoes to fill, right? I think of some more like weird analogies for non-league. I'm going to work on it.
And then, of course, down in the if you can see it from where I'm sitting, looking at it, of course, in the bottom left hand corner, of course, is Brad, of course, manager down there at Canberra Island, who are absolutely flying at the minute. So, welcome, Brad.
Hi, Dave. Thanks for having us.
No problems at all. And of course, on the right hand side, of course, is Rick, and of course, the manager down at another team, absolutely flying as well in AFC Sudbury. So, welcome, Rick.
Thank you. Appreciate the invite.
Guys, I mean, this week we've non-league. I mean, it's been a bit of a nightmare with games. I mean, AFC Sudbury probably might be a little bit better off with your sort of 3G surface and, you know, than Canvey and Enfield for myself. And, of course, Barkin should be all right as well up at the top. But, I mean, it must get very, very frustrating this time of year for you guys when, you know, this sort of weather starts to hit and you just never know if you're going to get, you know, going to get a game or not. Brad?
Yeah, I think listen, we've got quite a decent pitch at Canvey as well. So very rare are our games called off. So I think the frustrating part is that you build up all week for the game, and then it gets called off last minute, and then you're trying to scrap to what do we do? Do we keep the players in? Do we get them in for training? Are we going to give them the day off? I mean, you know, this week, for example, we had Lewis Tuesday night. It got called off late in the day. Thankfully for us, it was before we travelled. We got called off on the day. So where the boys were still travelling to meet the coach, we had to give them the night off. And then Thursday we train. And then Saturday was a funny one. We're playing Stortford away and they had a pitch inspection at 10 o'clock, which kind of surprised me. But given that we're only sort of an hour away, but fair play to them. They called it early and we was able to get something done with the boys. But we just wouldn't have been able to give them Saturday off as well. And at our level, not just train once a week, you know, on a Thursday, which is not exactly something you kind of push them hard at anyway. You're just looking at getting them ready for the game, you know. So it's definitely frustrating because I think it just messes with your plans.
Mm. Rick, I mean, with yourself?
Well, we're obviously fortunate with 3G pitch, but I was reading on Twitter because Felix O's game got called off and I think they've played something like three games in the last 7 weeks and now got to fit 19 games in whatever period that we've left, which is crazy. Totally understand people's frustrations. We've got Stowe tomorrow night. We've already been given the heads up on that. It's unlikely to be able to be played because obviously we're getting the freezing temperatures this way. But I agree with Brad. It's you know, what do? You call the players in? Do you give them the day off so they can get some brownie points with their other halves? So it's a fine balance, but especially when you're up, you know, challenging, you want to keep the momentum going, etc. So it can be very frustrating for sure.
Your game Saturday though should be okay, shouldn't it? Grays at Aveley?
Yeah, I would like to think so. I mean, in all the time I've been at Sudbury, which, you know, year and a half now, we've only not been able to train once. And that's something to do with the 3G. If it goes above -4, then it can damage the surface or something. So we were told we couldn't train, but that's the only time that we've not been able to train. So I would touch wood. I'd like to think the Greys game will be definitely on.
I mean, if you guys, I mean, any of you, you know, three guys, you know, two guys and a young lady, of course, you know, had that issue that we saw in the WSL at the weekend with, you know, like, you know, coming down, referee and, you know, referee sort of calling it off. And then, I mean, I don't know if anybody saw the interview with the Chelsea manager afterwards, Emma Hayes, and she just basically turned around and said, well, hang on a minute, you know, half past nine, the referee called it off. Then the FA said, well, hang on a minute, you know, we might put the game back till 2 o'clock and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And before we know what's going on, at 6 minutes, in, you know, the 6 minutes that we were played, it was like Bambi on ice. And it just sort of like was just gets called off 6 minutes in and abandoned. you know, and they were playing Liverpool, and about, you know, the supporters there left at 5:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
I had it twice last year, David. I had it Felixstowe away and Dereham away. Got all the way down and told it was called off at 1:00, which I said some very non-choice words. I won't repeat them because, you know, gentlemen are present. But, you know, and I also had it a few years ago at Herne Bay away, got thumbs in the game, fog came down, game off. It's really frustrating because ultimately you've got the whole squad and the whole players down there, and then you've got to drive home in that weather. I mean, I'm not the best driver, but I don't know how you guys feel about last minute. Rather, it was off at 10 a.m. personally. They didn't get the boys in for training or treatment, but I don't know how you guys feel about people getting games called off last minute. I know poor old Charlton got hit, didn't they, as well, for going away to Peterborough, and he got called off very late.
I think there just needs to be some common sense. You know, when we had all the cold weather, that's quite obviously games are going to be called off on the Saturday. They could have called off on the Friday, because like you guys, I'm sure you've got players coming from, you know, some from some distance. That's not so much us just doing the travelling. You know, we've got a lad who lives in Reading. So, you know, he's setting off an hour and a half before everyone else. But I totally agree with you. I think an early a decision would be appreciated by both clubs, no matter how frustrating it is.
It's common sense, isn't it, as well? Like you say, you know, for as frustrating as it was Saturday with a Stortford game being called off, it was early, 10 o'clock. We knew by 10:05, no one was travelling, no one was set out, you know. But then we had a strange situation at home because we went to our ground where we ground share with Benfleet, and the pitch was perfect. And the referee called it off for whatever reason, said it was frozen, and we trained on it for an hour and a half. No problem at all. There was no detriment to our players at all, and there was just a little 2x2 area in front of the dugout, which obviously where we're training, we can manage that. But even that, it wouldn't have affected the game. And I think it just comes down to consistency and common sense. And I think at this level, clubs lose money if you're travelling distance. Brighton City got all the way to Lewis. I think Enfield got to Hastings.
And the Enfield one was you know, the game that, you know, and I felt so sorry for the, you know, for the groundsman at Hastings as well, because he'd worked his backside off to get that pitch ready. As far as he was concerned, you know, as groundsman, the pitch was, you know, able to be played. Game on, they travel all the way down there. The referee comes out and says, no, again, a bit like what you just said there as well. Brad, is a little bit of an area here that's in, you know, that's sort of in, not in the sun or whatever else. Go game off. And I traveled all the way from Enfield, got all the way down there. I need to be told that the game's going to be called off. So it was I think they were a little bit fed up with it. Not with anything to do with Hastings, because they did their best and did everything they possibly do. Do you know what I mean? So it was just a case of, you know, the referee sort of being over pressure, shall we say, and the game gets called off.
And that effect as well, though, is that you got, I'm not sure about Enfield, I don't know how different clubs carry it with sort of coaches to games, etc. But to get a coach, we would have, Brighton City would have, I'm assuming, would have got a coach to Lewis, and that's going to cost £400 or £500 nowadays, and that's lost money. And there's no way of getting that back, you know.
And you have to go back there again as well, isn't it, in midweek, which is even hard to get players down. Look at that kind of distances, isn't it? I know it's always hard for, especially for a big trek in the midweek. You know, if you've got all players work, let's be honest, at this level, don't they?
Yeah.
I said something, I think it was last week or the week before, and it sort of got poo-pooed a little bit, if I'm honest, but I'm just curious what your sort of thoughts are. You know, wouldn't it not be a good idea that if, and I know the Southern League have it where they have like one complete weekend, which is completely free, and there's no fixtures put in at all for one weekend. Would it not be a good idea to have maybe two of these weekends where there's nothing put in? And then when you get something like a Brighton C versus Lewis, where it's a massive journey, you know, either way, whichever way it is, you know, you've got that spare weekend where you can go, well, there you go, we'll put that fixture in there. All right, it's going to be a bit difficult if it's, you know, Brighton City versus Lewis, and then it's Enfield versus Lewis or whatever else, and you've got two of them or two or three of them. But at least you could look at those and say, well, these are the big journeys. Say we have to try and traipse all the way down on a Tuesday night or a Monday night, Wednesday night, whatever else. You've got two spare weekends where you can actually fit these sort of, you know, these sort of long journeys in. Or when the fixtures come out, you know, make sure that those sort of fixtures, the best you can, the longer journeys, because surely there must be some way of doing that where you have the longer journeys maybe in the first month of the season, the last month of the season or whatever else, when fingers crossed the weather may be a little bit better, that you've got those sort of longer journeys out of the way. And I know, especially you know, in the Southern League, in one of the Southern Leagues there, you've got people like Merthyr Town going all the way down to Truro. You know, luckily enough, they got down there.
I think the
game was on. You know?
I think we're going to hear the word common sense quite a bit.
Yeah.
I mean, I totally agree with what you're saying. For me, the midweek games should be not necessarily your local derbies, but the ones that are within a 45-minute drive or whatever. That's what they need to do. And that's something I could think they could quite easily do when they're preparing the fixtures for the season. Mm. So, because as you say, you know, travelling down to wherever on a Tuesday night, I mean, we played in the trophy and we were down in Ashford on a Tuesday night. And then we had someone get on the wrong train and it's just a late night all round. But, you know, until they start doing things like that, I think we're going to have this conversation for a few more things.
I have to agree, Rick. Common sense, I think, has to go through on fixtures. I mean, there's no reason. I mean, honestly, it's non-league. You're going to lose a certain amount of games to weather every year, aren't you? I mean, unless you're blessed enough to have a 3G, and even 3Gs go down to snow, as Barkin found out, you know. Just got to be sensible. I mean, like, could you have a little midwinter break, maybe? I know it's very popular in non-league, but could you have a little break to sort of have more time to...
Sometimes you look at that and you think maybe that could be a bit of an issue, because you could have like a midweek break, say, I don't know, mid-November to mid-December or whenever you want to pick it, and the weather's perfect. And then you come back and then all of a sudden it's straight away, all the snow's coming down, the ice is coming down.
Yeah, I'd throw it in at Christmas. I'd say, you know what, players have got Christmas things. I mean, the Essex League did this year, we had no pictures of Christmas or New Year, and it was frankly lovely. I won't lie to you, I've never had that before in football. And it was so nice just to have a bit of a break. And ultimately, I know we've got a 3G, so it wouldn't have been a problem. I thought it just, we haven't lost anything this year. You know, it hasn't cost us any game time, they just built it into the season. Mm. We started a little bit earlier. It works.
I think one of the other things you mentioned there, you know, a lot of people, though, they look at 3G, 4G services and go, they're all weather services. Well, they are, but they're not, because it's not necessarily that case, because, yes, you can clear the snow off, maybe, if you're careful of it and get the game ahead. But then if your stadium, say like at Sudbury and others, if all the way around your stadium is full of ice and full of snow, and the people can't get to your ground, you've got no, you know, whether your pitch is playable or not, you can't play the game because of the safety on the outside of the thing. So I think sometimes 3G pitches get slated a lot, and I'm very much, Rick, a plus man when it comes to 3G services, trust me. You know, but it's that sort of scenario where it is a case of some people have a pop at them, but you've got to look at it and go, well, hang on a minute, look around the surrounding area. That's what the problem is. It's not necessarily, you know, I mean, I saw even in the professional game, wasn't it, a few years ago with Arsenal, you know, I think a game got called off around Christmas because of the snow and because of all around the outside of the ground, but the game could have been played, but it is what it is. But just a quick bit of transfer news. Arsenal have signed that Polish bloke that's just come through. That has all been confirmed.
Boo, no Arsenal talk on it. I'm banning it.
If anybody's actually listening.
He's not here now. You've got no more Arsenal.
So let's listen. If we're okay with you, Rick, let's start off with Brad and start off with Canby first, if you don't mind. And I mean, Rick, I mean, you know, started off the season really, really well, sitting there in fifth, and, you know, you've got, what, 42 points and doing really well. And I mean, tell us a little bit about, for people that don't know much about Canby, tell us a little bit about Canby, how long you've been there, a bit more about the club, and what was the sort of ambitions for you at the beginning of the season in the Isthmian Prem?
Yeah, so I've been at Canby now for nearly just under 10 years. So I went in there, I've been out in the States for a long period of time, lived out there for about 18 years. And then I moved back, I'm a Canby boy. Went in with Danny Hill when he took over, sort of as a coach and as his number two, and sort of went through the highs and lows for a 6-7 year period. We was in the Ryman Prem. Obviously, Dan had sort of taken over from a period 3 or 4 years earlier when Jeff King was involved and they were in the conference. So they've been a club that's sort of been up there and was just sort of trying to rebuild. You know, John Batch had come in as the manager and gotten back into the Ryman Prem, and then Danny took over and I was in there with him, and I think it was when I was thinking about it the other day, funny enough, it was ironic. I think we got relegated out of Ryman Prem the same year that Sudbury got relegated out of it as well. And we sort of, we played each other on the last day of the season in a rubber duck game at home. And then first game of the new season where everyone's excited going for promotion. And we played Sudbury again, opening game. So it was quite a ironic kind of a period. And we had a go in that first year trying to get back up. And we fell short in the playoff final. And then Danny sort of stepped down due to work commitments, and Mark Bentley come in, and I'd worked with Mark, well, I knew of Mark previously from working with him at West Ham and Orient. Mark come in and I was content to be a number two, and really enjoyed my time with Mark, and an opportunity come up for him to go into Southend, which really sort of shook us a little bit because we felt like we was doing something really, really good. You know, five games into the season and you feel this is going to be a great season, and then your leader's sort of going, I'm going to Southend. And thankfully, the boys sort of backed us and said, listen, we want you to stay around, Brad, and Sammy stay around. And we looked at him, we felt we had enough to have a go, and thankfully we got over the line through the playoffs last year. And, you know, going into this year, it was really like, you know, a lot of people out there saying, well, you know, as long as you avoid relegation, we'll be okay with that. And I've been a fan myself, and I support West Ham. So we're a yo-yo team. Do you know what I mean? I'm always excited, disappointed. So I don't go, as a coach and a manager, I don't go into any division fearing that I avoid relegation, that's successful. I need to go with my heart on my sleeve and say, listen, we're going to go and win the division. Whether that's pie in the sky, but, you know, if you shoot for the stars, you might fall in the trees. So, you know, we believe that we had enough in our squad to really compete. And we said, let's get to Christmas and see where we're at. And I think that we surprised a few people along the way. In our camp, we knew what we had. And, you know, we just sort of sat down recently now and said, well, what is our plan for the start, for the end of the season now? What do we want to achieve? What are our goals? And we feel that, you know, we've got a good opportunity to go and try and bust into the playoffs. And that's what we're trying to do. But I think a lot of it comes down from the fact that we had a good squad in the Ryman North. We believed in the seven or eight players that we kept around. And we've built something now. And we're basically giving players a platform to really show their potential. And there's some players that we've got in there that have probably in the past been renowned as Ryman North players, but have really stepped up and are starting to show the Prem that they mean business. And, you know, it's sometimes you have that first season success and the second season's harder, but we're proud of what we've done, but we've not won anything yet, or we've not achieved anything yet. So let's go and see what we can really do.
And it's, I mean, literally, I mean, everybody was sort of, how can you put this, sort of, I think when I was within sort of in the North Division with Harlow and stuff, you know, he's always sort of one of those sort of teams that was sort of like the real big fish in there was Canvey. And I think everybody was pleased to see you finally sort of get back in there and get in amongst the sort of the big boys of the Isthmian League. And to be really honest with you, as I say, you've only got the likes of, you know, Hornchurch, Cray, Bishop Stortford, Enfield above you, 4 points from the top of the table as well. It must be going better than you expected, isn't it? Surely.
Yeah. We know what we was like. I mean, we was a very good team last year in the North. We had a system of play and a philosophy that we played to that was hugely successful. And we've not really had to change much of that. We've just had to recruit players that we felt fitted into that mold and that philosophy that we wanted. So internally, we knew what we had and we knew what we was capable of. It was just, was we aware of how good the other teams were? Because we didn't have an opportunity to really go and watch too many games of the Prem last year. You know, you watch the odd one or two. So we really had to sort of do our homework early on and try and get to watch a few teams pre-season, especially at the start. And, you know, we put loads of effort into the first game against Horsham and fell up short and probably put a bit too much pressure on the players. And then all of a sudden we went Brightling Sea, Bowers, and then we came to Hornchurch at home, which was obviously, we knew they're going to be one of the big shots. And we felt we was quite comfortable in that game, and we beat them 2-1. And then I think Anfield in the FA Cup was a big eye opener. We beat them 5-1, and we was very dominant that day. But I think a lot of it is people, were they, whilst they're coming to watch us or getting people to watch us, and they're going back saying, Canby are good, they like to play football, they like to get it on the ground and they'll play. You know, a few managers have said to me after games, we didn't realise you were that brave at sort of playing and how effective you want to play. And I think it's just that surprise. And you know, we started doubling up on teams now. So we went to Hornchurch last week and, you know, Stimmo made a comment as we sort of walked into the ground and little comment that sort of stuck with me, like, you boys are not going to really fancy it today on this pitch. And it really sort of like stuck me. And I said to our boys, you know, we can't be known as this team who can play on certain pitches. And to be fair to them, we went there and we was good for our money that day to beat them. And, you know, we just got to keep going, just keep trying to battle on and whatever comes in front of us, work as hard as we can, have a togetherness as a group. And just hopefully it'll be enough to get us where we want to be.
I mean, not many teams are going to be doing a double over Hornchurch this season, are they?
Not many.
And we've been good for it in both games. You know, we're not here to make the numbers up. Do you know what I mean? I think one thing that me and Scopesy were talking about at Averley is that, you know, that battle last year in the north was tough. There's six or seven teams in there that are really competitive, and it's not a simple league to get out of. And I think that the battle that we had there really set us up for this year to go and have a go at teams. You know what I mean? So it was the fact that we kept the majority of the players together. One thing we said last year as a group was that Canby's got a very proud history, you know, winning the FA Trophy, playing in the conference. And we felt that maybe we'd lost our way a little bit. So as a group of players, we said, let's get this shirt back to being a winning shirt. So when we hang that shirt up on the peg, we're leaving it with a little bit of a legacy. So the next person that puts it on knows they're putting on a winning shirt. And sort of that mentality has changed us. And we really feel that the last sort of year to 18 months, we've been largely successful, you know.
And how did you...
Your fans are wonderful as well, Brad, honestly. That was a good bit of banter with your fans. They're a lovely bunch.
Yeah, to be fair, it's a big thing to do, and that was one thing that I wanted to do, is make sure that there's nothing worse than trying to go in one direction and have people rowing against you. And as a manager, I'm always going to make decisions that the fans won't like, won't agree with necessarily. But at the end of the day, they pay a lot of money. They travel all up and down the south of England to follow us. And as you've said, there are a great group, and we've got that one in, all in mentality. And as long as they're backing us, we'll give 100% for them, you know. And we're just one big family, really, that just wants to row in the right direction.
And one little secret for you: the lady above you is also a West Ham fan as well.
Okay,
yeah, turn it around. Now it's fine.
Feels my pain.
Rick, you're not a West Ham fan, am I?
No, Ipswich, I'm afraid. Being really quiet.
But I mean, I suppose one of the things we were talking about it off air before we started on, I think before Rick came on as well, talk to us about, you know, last year, because we were talking beforehand about a really what's going to end up being, I think, an incredibly iconic photo. And I mean, when did you first sort of come across that photo? When did you realise sort of that photo had been taken, and you know, and also as well, what, you know, how iconic that photo seems to have all of a sudden become?
The photo kind of surfaced later in the evening, to be fair. I think the Evening Echo, a local newspaper, had used it, and that's where it sort of come to light, and we just sort of looked at it and said, oh yeah, that's a decent picture, and that was the end of it. And I think it was the next day where it had sort of been put on social media, and then it sort of caught a wave, really, and was getting retweeted and things like that. But I think that it just encapsulates the whole day, really. I mean, we said that you know, if you want to get promoted, you want to go and win the league ultimately. And if we was going to win the league, we'd have won it on Bank Holiday Monday against Grays at home, which would have been great for our fans, beating local rivals, etc., in front of 400 people. We ended up going into the playoffs, probably had 2,000 people at the game against Felixstowe. And then the final was just, I mean, they say there's 2,500 in there, but that place was jam-packed. I mean, I think there was close to 4,000 people in there. And I think that when you start seeing all the pictures that surfaced, and that one obviously is going to become an iconic one, really, in the history of the club and things like that. And if you've been down to the club since the playoffs now, they've put a kind of like a multitude of pictures onto one of the walls now. Mm-hmm. So it's a as you walk into the clubhouse, it's got a lot of black and white pictures, etc., of the Jeff King era when they won a trophy. And then when you get into the clubhouse now, there's a whole wall that probably has about 300 pictures on it, and it's got Sivo as the main picture in the middle. It just brings you straight back to that day and that moment. Just an unbelievable moment. And I think, like I said beforehand, for Sivo, who was our captain last year and led us well. And I think deep down he knew he just had a baby and he was thinking a lot about retirement. And for him to be able to put that picture up in his office or in his PE room at school, it's an unbelievable picture to say, this is how my career finished, you know?
Have you seen it, Rick?
Yeah,
we talked about, yeah. I'll be honest, I mean, some people say it's good to win the league by winning the league. Other people would turn around and say, well, no, it's better winning it through the playoffs. I mean, I'll be honest with you, when it was with Harlow, sort of had 3 years, I think it's 3 or 4 years, whenever it was, and, you know, we lost to Whittam in the final. Then we lost to, you know, we were chasing Needham Market and that pesky Mark Morsley, you know, and he was, you know, I think we lost the league by a point. Both scored over 100 points that season. Both scored over 100 goals and we still could come away. And then lost to Thurrock and Mark Stimpson in the semi-final at home. And then finally got over the line the following year when you had the likes of Craig Wanderers and Hornchurch we had to beat in the semi and the final.
And I say, don't bring it up, David. It still upsets me.
but that final day, I didn't even know you were there.
Yeah, I was. I know it very well.
The first time I've known that. But it was one of those days. It was an incredible day. You know, I mean, that day there, a bit like you said, Brad, you know, there was, I don't know, probably 1,500 or whatever else there was, 2,000 in the Harlow stand there. And my daughter was the club photographer. And some of the pictures I've seen, and I still see them being posted and stuff. And just incredible feeling on the day. But as before we go on to Sudbury, I mean, what would you rather do? Would you rather win it outright, or would you rather win it if you knew you were going to win that final? Would you prefer to win it through the playoffs?
I think so, yeah. I think the two games you get in the playoffs, they're do or die games. If you're guaranteed to go up through the playoffs, 100%, I'll take them all day. Gives you those two magical days. Do you know what I mean? If you ask me during the season, I'd much rather have won the league against Grays and gone up, and then I could have enjoyed the last two or three days, you know. But when you're, it was a strange situation, you know. You look at yourselves, and we lose out on the last couple of games, and we know we're going to finish second, and then we've got to play Felixstowe, who have won their last 9 games. So they're on a rise. My boys are on a downer. So I've got to get them up for this game and all the doubts. And thankfully, we were good there. And you know, but we even down to, you know, we took it all the way to penalties, last penalty. So we went as far as you could go in the season to get promoted. And it was an unbelievable feeling that I'd love to experience again. But like you say, you've also been on the other side and it's hard. You've gone through all that hard work and it's just, you just can't get through it, you know? So it's probably the best way and the worst way.
Mm. I mean, Rick, have you ever been through it?
No, I've the promotions I've had have been through winning the league when I was at Stowmarket. And then obviously they went up with the COVID when they did the restructuring. But I can imagine if you know you're definitely going to win, I totally see Brad's point of view, because we all know playing in cup games, I mean, that's what they are, cup finals. So, and having, I mean, the crowd is insane for our level. So to experience that alone, you know, I've been involved in, you know, one massive game for me personally, when we had Colchester in the FA Cup first round on TV, and we had 2000 now, and everything that brings, the excitement and the build up and all the rest of it. So I totally get it. If you're asking me now, I want to win the league. I don't want to go through that.
Well, I do remember back in, I think it was 2016 when it happened, and I remember there was a league game between Harlow and Cray, or there was a game where, that Tony Russell had come to, and Cray had beaten us quite easily in that game. But I think it was probably when we played Cray, and I remember seeing Tony in the car park, and Tony said to me, he said, "You've got no chance. Like, you know, you play like that, you know, you blah blah blah." And it sort of stuck in my mind. And of course, that day, then of course, when we did win, it was like a wow. You know, it was like the hardest sort of two you could get, because I think a bit what you just said there, Brad. The team that finishes second in those playoffs are at the biggest disadvantage most of the time, because you've got 9 times out of 10, you'll have somebody that has come from absolutely nowhere on a big run and nicked that last sort of playoff place 9 times out of 10. And as you said, they're on a massive high, and then you've got to go in there. You've just missed out, especially like the Harlow Needham one that time when we missed out by, you know, I think it was by a point or whatever it was. And you're going into that, you know, you're feeling a bit down because you've not made it. And then you go up against somebody that's absolutely flying like Thurrock were at the time and end up getting absolutely smashed, you know. So I think it's that mindset, isn't it? You've got to really have a strong manager, you've got to really have sort of a strong team to get that mindset in the right way.
100%, 100%. I mean, you look at the, even in a professional game, you know, look at the teams that go up through the playoffs. I remember the year West Ham went up, finished sixth, scraped into the playoffs, but was absolutely on a crest of a wave. And it's difficult because you've got that commitment, and you've got that passion, and the boys are ready for it. You know, you're dealing with emotions, and when you deal with emotions, the highs and the lows of not getting automatic promotion. And then you've got, in our game, for example, I think we had like the Thursday training session, the Saturday game, and then we was playing on the Monday or the Tuesday. And it's like, you've only got 1 hour and a half with the boys to try and get them up for it. And it's just, again, I think it all comes down to the boys that you had. I think we was quite fortunate last year in that we had 3 or 4 lads like, you know, like Rick, so we had Harrison chatting with us, with Siva, Kwasi, Pricey. And they'd been through a similar situation with Heybridge where they won the playoffs and didn't go up. Mm. Due to that COVID situation. So all going through the last, we saw a change in mentality of our players in the last 5 or 6 games where they're going, we're not going up this year. And when it went into the playoffs, they were different animals then, boys. They really sort of were like, this is what we're going to do. And our performance against Felixstowe, we was unbelievable in the first half, 1-0 up. Like all playoff games, you know, we weathered a 20-minute storm where we was under pressure. They scored. The crowd was what really brought us through that day. They pulled us up. And then the boys that have been there before that had the experience just dragged us through. We ended up winning 3-1. So it was it's a stumbling block. But I think because we had the right players in the group and we'd recruited the right players and the mentality was right, we was ready to go. You know?
Yeah, definitely. I suppose first, if we move over to Sudbury for a bit, I mean, in the north at the moment, Rick, which teams are actually 3G, other than yourself?
There's us, Grays, Hashtag,
yeah,
Bowers,
yeah,
Heybridge, that's 4. I think that's it, 4.
4.
Yeah.
Not fit to Phoenix, though.
No,
definitely not.
just trying to get a reaction. So, I mean, some people say, and of course, I'm very much, and Ali will tell you this, I'm very much a plus 3G person, where other people were very negative about it. But you actually look at the top two in the league, yourselves and Hashtag, and neither of you have actually lost a game at home.
Yeah,
so you'll get those negative people say, oh, that's because they're on 3G and they used to plan on it. And this, so my argument always come back to that. I don't know what you say to it, but my argument to that is, yeah, but hang on a minute. You know, AFC Sudbury play, you know, sort of, they play their, how many games is it? 19 games on a 3G surface. plus maybe two others in the league, so 21. But then the rest of the games, the other 18, you're playing on grass, where the teams that are playing on grass might play one, maybe two games on 3G. How is that a negative to you or a positive to you? Because you've got 3G, you're actually the team that should be in the more negative towards it, because you're the ones have actually got to go and play on grass a lot more times than they play on 3G.
I think it works two ways. I mean, when I was manager at Stowe, we had a grass pitch, but when we had the opportunity to go play on 3G, we quite enjoyed it because we were a footballing side.
Mm.
So, you know, why you wouldn't want to do that? The flip side of that, of course, is in the conditions that we've now got. Sometimes you're going to grounds that the pitch is not great. So is that a leveler? You need to look at, obviously, the away form of the teams with the 3Gs as well. I mean, hashtag are doing well. We've done well away from home. To be fair, I think Heybridge away form's not been great. But yeah, you know, you're always going to get that argument. But there's pros and cons. But I think depends on the type of team you've put together and how you wish or how you like to play football. Mm. For your football inside, just like when we've turned up some, what's the first game we had was East Thurrock when it was really hot, and we thought, oh, what's the pitch going to be like? But fair play to them, they'd obviously watered that and watered it and watered it, and that was lovely. It was like a carpet. And you know, let's say if you're a football inside, you want to get the ball down and play, great. So it's not something that's ever phased us at all. And I think sometimes people just look for angles that aren't necessarily there.
So, I mean, I think it was goal behind against present company excluded, but one of my favourite sides in Wroxham as well at the weekend, came back and won that. But I mean, that just shows sort of like, an altogetherness in the team, doesn't it? And the strength of your side when you can do that.
Yeah, it was interesting because, you know, before the game, I said to the boys, let's just take a moment and reflect of where we're at in the season. You know, we've only dropped 7 points all season. I said, nothing's won yet. But look, you know, you've seen a lot of things this year. We were 2-0 down at home, hashtag 1-4-2. We had a man sent off against St. Albans National South, are they? And, you know, we knocked them out of the cup. We've come in from games more than a goal down at half time. We've won games in the last 5 minutes. So for us, we just try to get across about them keeping their composure and believing in what we want to, how we play and why we do that. Only once this season have they lost their composure, and then all of a sudden the structure starts falling apart because your centre forward's dropping deep in to get the ball because he's frustrated. Then, of course, he's not up top when someone's putting a cross in. So we really worked hard on that. And so far, you know, fair play to the group. It's, you know, we come in, we always say half time, just make sure we're in the game, whether we're winning or whether we're losing or whatever, just make sure we're in the game. So it gives us that opportunity to, you know, put any little things that we don't think are going right or make some adjustments, and then we go again.
Mm.
But so far, the group have been fantastic. And Brad's mentioned chats. We made a point of getting all our business done early in the season, pre-season. And we went out and signed people who have been there and done that. And he's one of a few that we've signed. And the only person we've added to that is the lad David Hughes, who again's been there.
Listen, I mean, you've got, for me, and this is no disrespect to anybody else that's on the show with us tonight, probably the best goalkeeper in the Isthmian for me. I'm still sitting there scratching my head to this day of why Harlow let him go in the first place, and then completely scratching my head why Avery let him go. When I saw that, I was just disbelief. He's probably one of the nicest guys you're ever likely to meet. And and not only that, he's a quality goalkeeper as well.
Yeah, he's been a joke for us. I do have a laugh with him, like one particular game. I'm trying to think, Coggleshaw, funny enough, away from home, where, to be honest, we didn't deserve to get anything out of it. And we won the game 1-0. And he's made two or three saves, great saves, you know, and he's come in and... So why are you taking all the plaudits for? That's what I pay you for. I said, you haven't done nothing the last 10 games. You know, do your bits and you're like, come join the club. But as you said, he's probably one of, if not the nicest kid I've ever met. So, so down to earth, polite. And that's a big thing for me as well. I'm sure Brad's the same when you talk about your group. You know, we want to make sure they mix with the supporters, or make sure they're sitting in the clubhouse and they're talking to them. And we say to them, you know, if and when we score, go find the closest kid and go celebrate with him. And from that side of things, we're now seeing definitely a lot more youngsters coming to our games, which is obviously vital for the club, you know, going forward.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just looking at your fixtures, Rick, as well. You've got, he's a real tough few weeks, isn't it? I mean, dear me. I mean, who picked these fixtures? You know, Stowmarket, as you said, away, you know, possibly tomorrow. Then Grays away, Lowestoft at home. Then you get Tilbury, you know, are fighting for their lives at the other end of the table. You've then got Felixstowe, and then you've got Heybridge, who are the only team to beat you this year. And then you've got that massive game that surely has got to be on Match of the Day, isn't it? Or something like that, isn't it? Hashtag on the 25th. I mean, that game is huge because of, you know, if it stays, you know, how it is at the minute. I mean, that's that is a really big, big game. They're
breathing down your necks, old hashtag, aren't they?
And you know, if it's them that pips us for the title, all you have to do is just, you know, take your cap off to them and say fair play, because you know they've done exceptionally well. They're a well-run club, very respectful. I think the videos they put out are very honest towards the opposition, and there's a lot that other clubs could learn from some of the stuff that they do, you know, to engage with their supporters, etc. So I mean, funny enough, that was one of our games. We were 2-0 down at half time to them. We made two errors, but you know, we came out and eventually won that game 4-2. So I'm sure they'll be looking forward to the return game.
And it's funny, going back to what we started off with around, is it an advantage, disadvantage, you know, sort of 3G. You know, you only, you know, what's the name on the copybook, as they say, was it on 3G?
Yeah. Good game. It was a strange one, but you know, football's fine margins, as we say. You know, Coggleshaw, we didn't think we deserved to get anything out of, and we've defended well and then nicked one. Heybridge caught us early, which sort of set us back, but then we got on the ball and we started shifting it and created a few chances. But we ended up losing that 1-3-2 when we felt that we deserved at least a point in that game. But there again, you know, I know we're all saying, I'll wait for the hashtag game in February, but I can remember when Heybridge beat us, you know, on their Twitter, etc. They were saying what a huge result that was for them. And here we are, how many weeks later, and there's a big gap, because that's what can happen in this league. As Brad knows from last season, anyone can beat anyone in this league. And if you're not on it, you're going to get punished.
And, of course, what we were talking about... Heybridge, of course, we should wish Gary all the very, very best as well. He stepped down from being chairman of Heybridge Swifts, and I must admit, he seems to be somebody that, when I saw, he's only been there, I think it was 6 years or whatever else, as chairman, 5-6 years as chairman. I thought he'd been there for 20 years as chairman, because he's always seems to be the face of Heybridge, I must admit. But so we wish him all the very, very best. But I mean, with those fixtures coming up thick and fast as well, I mean, how do you sort of prepare the team for those? Because, I mean, it's literally, you know, a case of, you know, I don't know, where's your head at when you're going into, you know, the run of pictures of, Stowmarket, Grays, Lowestoft, Heybridge, hashtag? I mean, you know, how do you sort of keep your sort of, not keep your nerve, but I mean, what's your help like going into all those type of games and trying to get that team to you know, to perform?
No, it's fine. It's you know, I have a saying, when we've had so-called big games before, you know, people are pushing things on Twitter, etc., and I just turn around and say it's game 14. There's only 3 points at stake. It's not a double header, you know, it's not six or whatever. So we just try to keep our feet on the ground. As cliche as it sounds, which I apologize for now, you know, it is one game. I've been in the game too long to now try to start planning, you know, where we want to be in the next game or the game after. I mean, I remember doing that once when I was at Stowe, and I'd planned the substitutions and everything, and 8 minutes in the game, we got a man sent off, and that went, everything went pear shaped. But you know, we just keep the boys grounded. You know, we're picking up wins, which is great. And we're being chased heavily by hashtags. So we'll, you know, I think they've got a run of games that are going to be hard. You play everyone twice at some point. So there's a long way to go. People keep saying the two-horse race. Greys are coming on strong. Made a great signing with Roman from Molden. He's a good lad who was, he's a handful. And I think Greys have, correct me if I'm wrong, but they've won their last six. Yeah. Hashtag have we have. So, you only need a couple of weeks of, you know, dropping points, and all of a sudden people are closer than what you think.
I mean, one of the other things about AFC Sudbury that always sort of sticks in my mind as well, Rick, is when anybody's talking about football grounds and stuff like that, the first ground that comes to mind, you know, when anybody talks is, well, yeah, have you seen what, you know, Sudbury's ground is like? Yeah, it's always, ours is a little bit like Sudbury's, or ours is a little bit like this. And when there's a new grounds being built or whatever else, it's always sort of like you're seen as the, can you put it, the sort of the number one ground in this sort of area of the Isthmian, shall we say, that everybody sort of tries to base their grounds on. And that must make everybody at Sudbury quite proud about it, you know, that's still, you know, to this day.
Very proud, and I know the chairman is particularly has reminded me of that on several occasions. But I think, look, we all want to win games. We all want to have band with fans, etc. And you know, as managers, we all know. You know, I still get it now. As I said, we picked up 50 odd points out of 60. You know, dropped 7, and they're still querying what team I'm picking. But that's, you know, that's 300 supporters or whatever. It's 300 managers looking at you. But at the end of the day, it's a game. I'm massive on that. That's interesting saying about having time off over Christmas. I do think, I understand the Boxing Day bit and all the rest of it, but I do think at our level, I do think sometimes the players need to be taken into consideration. I mean, luckily for us, we moved our game with Bury to a day later. Ipswich were playing, so it made perfect sense. But we got a much bigger crowd, etc., and it was good. But you just want people to come and enjoy the game, you know, whether whoever they're supporting, and be able to walk into a clubhouse and have a drink and enjoy that time.
I must say, Rick, looking at your results, you score so many last-minute goals. Is that something you build into the team resilience and that?
I think from my Stowe days, the way that we play, particularly now we've got the players in that we wanted. I don't know if you guys would agree, but like the first 60 minutes of any game is always competitive because both sides are fairly fit. But we want to move the ball, which works the opposition. And we say, don't be frustrated if we're not sort of gaining too much because we're making the opposition work. And then, you know, they tire late on, they make mistakes, and hopefully we jump on that and punish them. So it's something we've always been, or I've always been big on. And we have won a lot of games late. And
it's working really well for you guys at the minute, so yeah, keep it up, is it?
Genuinely not luck. It is, you know, because people say you seem to be a lot fitter than other teams. But it's not necessarily that. It's just that we're keeping the ball and they're doing the running. So, yeah.
I mean, with it though, I mean, the one side that always, we've always brought it up on this show, the one side in your league that always sort of surprises me, you know, is they always seem to be up there and thereabouts and then sort of just drop off all of a sudden. And it's almost every single year. And that's Bury Town. And, you know, they're sitting down there in 10th, and you just said like your local derby over that, you know, sort of Christmas time. But it's I don't know. It's the one team in that league that always sort of surprised me a little bit, where they're, you know, you'd expect with the biggest sort of attendance, et cetera, they get every single year, that they would be doing a little bit better than they do.
Yeah, I mean, they've had a good stint, but, you know, I do believe all clubs go through cycles. And I think they're doing a rebuilding job at the moment. They've got great support. So, yeah, it's, you know, for Sudbury, prior to myself and Angelo taking over, they had a model where they were using a lot of the academy kids and sort of finishing mid-table, you know, sort of season finishing come Christmas time. And as Brad said earlier, you know, I'm also somebody who wants to compete. You know, we're not here for the ride. Yeah, and you know, when we took over, we said we've got no issues using academy players at all. Age has never been a bother for me if they're good enough, but we just said we want the best ones, you know, because it's unreasonable to expect some of these kids to come in and play. You know, one of the things we pointed out last year, how many 17, 18 year olds Averley have, Canvey have playing regular, you know, Brentwood, Stowe. I know Stowe didn't have any. I don't think Brentwood have had many. And that's not to say the kids aren't good enough. It's just, they're just at that age where, you know, at 17, they might not just be ready, but at the age of 20, they could be absolutely flying. Mm. And that's the hardest bit as a manager, because, you know, they want to play. Of course they want to play. Everyone does. And sometimes it's hard looking to say, you know, I hate the word saying you're not good enough. That's not a case of that. It's probably more that it's not ready yet. Mm. It will be an interesting, whatever we've got left, 12 weeks.
So, I mean, how often do you, I mean, for yourself, Rick, and of course as well, Brad, I mean, how often do you guys actually get, your sort of youth systems that you've got in your club, and especially the older age groups, how often do you get down there to have a look, and do you have sort of people sort of, you know, giving it, sort of whispering in your ear saying that there's somebody in the under 17s or under 18s or whatever else, or under 23s, God, he's pretty decent, it's, you know, that we've got there. Do you get that sort of, have you got that sort of scouting, not necessarily scouting network, but that sort of connections with the managers in the team below you as such in the ages?
Speaking from a Sudbury perspective, obviously they've pushed players through the academy quite often. I went to watch them last year at Mildenhall as a young lad that stood out head and shoulders in my eyes, which is a lad called Josh Stokes. He's then come into our team, built his minutes up, and now he's got several professional clubs looking at him. And of course, that's what they're there for. Do you know what I mean? Our academy couldn't be any more helpful if they try. You know, if we've got training and let's say we've had a couple injured or whatever, they'll send us boys so we can work on shape, et cetera, et cetera. So yeah, from that point, that they're always talking to us. And normally when we train Tuesday, Thursday, on a Thursday, we normally have a game after us on, so we tend to sort of hang around and watch some of that as well.
Brad?
I think for us, I mean, just looking at the bigger picture, and I remember 3-4 years ago, I think like Rick alluded to, is that Sudbury were happy to play their youngsters and bring a lot through from the academy, probably around the time where they got relegated at Wyman Prem. And I think the structure that Sudbury's got is a structure that other clubs looking at are quite envious of. I think you've got it right. I think you've got a system where you can bring people through. I think like Rick says, is that it's just having the capability now to know when you can dip them in and out of the team. It's all well and good having a 17-year-old in the team, but he's probably only got 5-6 games in him before you need to bring him out just mentally to give him a little break for 1 or 2 games and then dip him back in like you've done with the boy Stokes. And things like that. We don't really have that system at Canvey. We don't have that youth system. We're trying to work closer with the youth systems at the moment. But I think, you know, it a lot of it aids to the facilities that Sudbury have got. Having that 3G, you can get the teams closer to each other. I think with us having a grass pitch, you're not going to have the youth teams playing at our facility. So we're not going to be able to attract the players when we're, you know, simple little things. Bowers have got a growing little academy coming on. They've got the 3G facility there. They're down the road to us. You know, that's our competitors in the youth market. And ultimately, it was for us, it was all about getting the first team back to where they want to be. Exactly what Rick said. You probably had to go in there, Rick, and change the mentality a little bit to get somebody back to where they want to be. And when you're there next year in the Wyman Prem, hopefully, and you've got this little academy going and you're playing good football on a good surface, now you can start seeing the people develop and bringing them into your system. And I think it's facilities and the 3G facility has a massive part to play in how you can structure that youth program, you know?
Yeah, totally. Totally agree.
I mean, one of the questions I'd ask you guys, if you, I mean, probably more sort of, hit you toward Rick than to Brad because of what you've just said, Brad. But for me, though, would you, when you get your sort of youth sides that are underneath you, if you play, I don't know, so if you used to play 4-3-3 or whatever you play, whichever system you play, is it something that you would then go to your sort of reserve manager, your under-23s and your under-18s and say, look, I want you to play this way. So I want you to play the same way as the first team do, so that then if you then get to a situation where you, you know, your right back goes down injured, you know, God forbid before whatever game, you can then literally just turn around to your reserve manager and go, look, can we borrow Johnny? Johnny, we need Johnny for today or whatever. And he already knows that position. He already knows how, you know, you're going to play straight away. So you've actually got that system all the way down the ranks. So it's just a, well, okay, fair enough, just another game for me type thing, if you know what I mean, for that player.
I think that may have been tried at Sudbury in the past. And I do see the benefits of it, but equally, I personally don't feel comfortable, you know, not dictating to a reserve manager or academy manager, because as we touched on earlier, we all have opinions on how football should be played. For me, it's just getting the best out of the kids. When, you know, we will say to Dave and Craig, for argument's sake, you know, who shined for you this week? Do you want to send 4 or 5 with us in training? So they'll get the familiar side to it, et cetera. And sometimes we'll rotate the subs so they're getting, you know, what it's like in a men's changing room and what goes on match day. So I think that's more important to feel familiar from that side than it is playing. Because if they're a good player, I just want them to go out and express themselves and play naturally without any fear as such.
Hmm. I think it's quite difficult. I think that's at the professional level. You know, I mean, I was fortunate out in the States to work at a professional level, and it's, them players are easier to coach. You tell them once and they listen. When you look at the players we've got, I've got a Canvey, the players Rick's got, there's players there that are probably good enough to play in the Football League. Mm. But their understanding or their game management is what lets them down. And we've got to tell them 4, 5, 6 times to do one thing. In the pro game, you're saying, do this. And they hang on to every word. So I think that, you know, when you've got players, whilst you can do that at the pro level, at the non-league level, I just don't think it's possible. It's all about the players you've got. I mean, take Harrison Chatting, for example, who was with me and playing for Rick now. Fantastic player. But Harrison likes to walk around a little bit, and he tends to walk into pockets of space that no one else will walk into. And he picks up unbelievable positions to get on the boom through just walking into areas. Yeah. You're not going to have a youth player and go, model yourself and Harrison Chatting, and let's start walking around the pitch. You know, and that's no disrespect to Harrison, because as you know, Rick, the pockets of spaces that he picks up in and how deadly he can be through doing that,
yeah,
is unbelievable. But you can't replicate that with a youth team player, because when they come into the game and they play for you, they're full of beans. They just want to run around. They want to get rid of all their energy, you know?
Well, yeah. When we were running in the summer, he wasn't, yeah, put it that way.
No. Guys, I've got, if you don't mind me, I've got one question for Ali, because something that I saw sort of in the last few weeks, I think it was, and I was quite shocked, to be honest with you, and I just want to get your opinion on it, because of course it's closer to you than it is to any of us. I mean, what has happened with Charlie?
Oh yeah, it's really sad. So he's unfortunately his missus has got a job in Dubai, and he's running off to Dubai now, which is a bit devastating. You know, I'm a bit of a fangirl for Charlie McDonald. I think he's a great manager. I think he's a great man. But yeah, ultimately it was a bit of a shock to all of us, including Charlie. It wasn't expected, but the Nick's taken over. Nick's great. I love Nick. He's our goalkeeper coach. So he's done a wonderful job so far in the last 2 games he took. The lads are all on board. Yeah, just a bit missing our McDonald at the moment, but we're gonna do it for him now. We're gonna try and chase down him, which is probably a very hard task at this point in time. But yeah, he's just there, just going off to go and get some more sun.
All right, for
some. It's mad, okay. David. It's mad, but it's football, isn't it? That ultimately, I mean, I wouldn't pass up the chance of going living in Dubai. living my best life, so I don't blame him. I might ask him to physio over. Can you use
So, lads, that's what you got to do, get the missus to get a job in Dubai, yeah?
100%. He's done a blind, he has there,
I
tell you that much.
And, of course, I suppose, aims now, you know, we're coming up, we've just gone over, I suppose, halfway, haven't we, of the season, et cetera, lads. And I mean, what is the sort of, like, goals for Canvey and for Sudbury? Is Canvey's sort of goal to sort of, you go one way and the team down the road come down the other way?
That'd be nice, wouldn't it? No disrespect to them, do you know what I mean? But it's, you know, it's like with the Essex Senior Cup game. We've got a chance of playing them in the quarterfinal and we don't get to play Concord in those games anymore. So it's it'll be a good, if hopefully they can, I think it's the first time we wish Concord win, and it'd be a good one to take care of them in the quarterfinals. But listen, we just got to worry about ourselves. And like I said earlier on, you know, we've not achieved anything yet. We've not won anything yet. Our aim was to go into this division, be competitive and see where it can take us. And sitting towards the end of January, just at the top of the bottom of the playoffs, we'd take that all day. And it just allows us now as a group internally to set ourselves some personal goals of what we think we can do. And if that takes us into the playoffs, fantastic. If we fall short, then so be it. You know, we can't deny that coming into this division, we've been able to be competitive, which was something we wanted to do first and foremost. And at times we've been more than competitive. We've been dominating, you know. Mm.
It's
Rick?
Very tight in that league, isn't it? Cracky.
Rick,
I reckon you'll do it. You did it. I think you're a cracking team, Canvey. And I wouldn't often say that about teams either.
No,
I think you're a lovely little team.
So, Rick, I mean,
Ames, I beating Barking last year. I'll let you off of that one.
Yeah, to be fair, we was 2-0 down with 8 minutes left, weren't we?
Oh, I saw it coming. The game just turned suddenly. I went, oh, no. I've been here before against Canvey.
So, Rick, I mean, your aims then, I mean, surely to get that promotion and, you know, automatic and go and play Brad next year.
Yeah, and what's great to see from our perspective is the likes of Canvey and Averley where they are. So it shows, you know, that we're capable of going to compete in there because, you know, as we touched on earlier, I always want to compete. I'm not saying we've always got to win things, but you want to be strong and you want to be up there challenging. So, yeah, they've shown us that there's potential for us to do well in that league. So, I just hope, you know, the boys get what they deserve because they've been top notch so far and I've, you know, both on and off the pitch. So fingers crossed Wroxham beat hashtag on Saturday.
Is that Wroxham as well?
Yeah, it's players, good luck Saturday. So we'll see.
Well, listen, guys, it's been fantastic having you on tonight. It really has been an absolute pleasure to have both of you on. And we do wish you all, you know, me, Ali and Keith, who's, of course, unfortunately not here. But, you know, we all wish you all the very, very best for the rest of the season. I really do hope you guys, you know, get up. I mean, especially another Essex team in, you know, in Canvey. I mean, Waltham Abbey myself, but, you know, so I'm an Essex boy myself. And AFC Sudbury, always a club that I've had a real soft spot for. So I really hope you guys, you know, do it this time around and get into that back where you deserve to be in the Prem. And Ali, a massive thank you for you for joining us and hopefully we'll see you again next week. But a big shout out to Keith and hope everything goes okay for you tomorrow, my friend, and keep in touch and we'll be saying a little prayers for you tomorrow, but all the very, very best to you tomorrow. But also as well, anybody that's actually watching from the other side, shall we say, from the Southern League, keep really sort of close to your YouTube channel because coming on the February the 1st is something that I've been wanting to do for nearly 10 to 15 years of doing this show. And finally, it's finally going to happen. And the debut of that show is February the 1st on the Southern League YouTube channel. That's all I can say at the minute because it's not actually been officially released yet of what it's going to be. But please make sure you watch that because it is going to be something else and it's going to be something good for non-league football in general. But for me, from the lads and, of course, from Ali as well. We'll see you next week and best of luck, lads, tomorrow night, if it's on, of course, and, of course, at the weekend. But from everybody else, good night.
All the best.